I will call the meeting to order officially at 5:34. Right, 5:34. The first item on the agenda is approval of this evening's board agenda.
Move to approve.
Okay, I have a first. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Dixie.
Second.
Okay, so Carla and Dixie, then I will go ahead and do a roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries with 3 roll call votes. Mr. Anderson is not going to join us today. He is feeling a little bit out under the weather, and that's I've been texting back and forth. I'm getting worse and worse at multitasking. I apologize. So that was my delay in writing for a moment. But with that, board members, I don't believe we have any public comment in El Centro.
None in San Bernardino either.
And then in San Bernardino. With that, our first item on the agenda is our independent audit presentation. And I see Mr. Sproul has arrived and joined us. Every year we have an opportunity to review our independent audit, and Mr. Sproul is so kind to do a presentation for us on our audit. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Sproul. And then board members, obviously, if you have any questions at the end, please feel free to ask.
Okay, I will share my screen. Okay, can everyone see the giant audit report now?
Yes.
So thanks for having me. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kevin Sproul. I'm one of the partners at Wilkinson Hadley King, and you know, always happy to be able to present the audit reports. This week is crazy. It's like every single night I've got one. So get to see all the faces that I didn't get to see during the year because of remote auditing. So it's nice to see all of you. So for my presentation, I go through and I kind of hit the main points of the audit report. I talk about the different sections of the report and how they flow for anyone who isn't used to going through the audits. And then when I'm done, I open it up for questions. So we're going to start at the very first letter, the independent auditor's report. And this is the opinion letter over the financial statements. And you can see in the last paragraph, it reads, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the respective financial position of the corporation as of June 30, 2021. So that means an unmodified audit opinion, and that's what you want to see. So that's the first thumbs up of the report. After that first letter is the financial statements, and there are 4 of them. So there's the statement of financial position. That's like a balance sheet. So you've got your assets, your liabilities, and it's called net assets. For those of you who might be familiar with other business terms, this is the same thing as equity. And those balance each other out. I'm going to talk more about kind of the financial health and the trends that you see in a later schedule. So for right now, I'm just going to walk you through each of these statements. The next one is the statement of activities, which has a summary of the revenues and the expenses. And one of the things that we show on the very next financial statement is this summary of expenses right here is then detailed out on the statement of functional expenses. Moving from that is the statement of cash flows, which we show indirect and direct method both. The direct method is now required as part of FASB, and they recommend the indirect because that's what most people utilize is this bottom one. It makes more sense to me, the bottom one, but for some reason, you know, the people who make the rules say, oh, you got to do the other one. Like, okay, that confuses people more, but okay, we'll do it. So those are the main financial statements. Now, the next section of the audit report are actually the notes to the financial statements, and they have 2 main purposes. The first one in note A is it summarizes the significant accounting policies of the organization. And then after that, it actually takes some of those line items on the balance sheet and whatnot, and it breaks them into more detail. So like if you want to know what the accounts receivable is made up of, you can go to note E and actually see the accounts receivable, the different programs that it's made up of. Now, it's not very thing. So my favorite thing to say at this point is anyone with sleep troubles, you know, just keep the audit report next to your bed and read the notes to the financial section and you'll go right to sleep. So, you know, that's kind of the long and short of it. But for those who do want to dig more into those financial statements, this is where you want to do it. So we're going to go past these notes all the way into the supplementary information. And the supplementary information is are the schedules that help break down the financials more in a combining report. And also there are some state compliance schedules. So these first ones, you'll notice, once again, we have a statement of financial position. But this time, it's the combining statement because both schools are listed on this single audit report. So for these next three schedules, you will have the El Centro and the San Bernardino columns presented separately. These total up to the same at the beginning. So that's why they're then broken out and they're called the combining statement of financial position. So you've got the same first three, financial position, activities, and then expenses. So once again, these are all schedules that help to kind of help people dig deeper if they're wanting to look specifically at El Centro, San Bernardino, tell them apart. The next schedules we have are the ones that I said are required by the state of California through the audit guide or through other things. We've got the org structure. We've got the instructional time, which looks a little different this year. Normally there would be a schedule of ADA, but ADA was not required to be submitted this year, so it's not required to be in the audit report. And then we have the schedule of financial and analysis. So these schedules right here, one for El Centro, one for San Bernardino, these are the schedules that I like to look at the fiscal health of an organization. Last year was difficult. With the pandemic, with expenses, with revenue kind of being in flux. So you can see this 2020 year for both schools was very difficult. It was a deficit in spending, which means the revenue that was brought in was less than the expenses that went out. But you'll see on both sides that this year that trend was reversed. So there was less expenses than revenue on both El Centro. And I think more importantly, as far as when we're looking at these fiscal health with San Bernardino, because San Bernardino had quite a bit of a deficit last year and they were able within this 1 year time period to kind of steer that boat that the pandemic gave them. You know, the pandemic broke their rudder and they're like, no, we're going the right direction. And they were able to turn it around quite a bit, which was good. And you can see in this 2022 budget, they are budgeted to be a positive ending net assets once again. And that's exactly what you want to see. One thing to note, like I said, there was no ADA that was reported this year. So this is an NA. But you can also see what has happened with the ADA over the years, which is one of the reasons there was a deficit that, you know, in the prior years because of that. The ADA fluctuation. And we're seeing that all over the state. You know, they'll go up, they'll go down, they'll go up, they'll go down. So it's definitely something that whatever can be done to stabilize is a good thing. So after that, this year, there are some new schedules that you'll see, like this schedule of expenditures of federal awards. And that's because the federal expenditures for the first time went over $750,000 between both schools. And so the schools became subject to what's called a single audit under uniform guidance. And so there were some additional procedures that we had to do this year. And there are some additional letters that we had to include in the audit report, which we'll talk about now. So the first letter is in every audit report. It's internal control over government auditing standards. And it just kind of defines some of the things that we talk about in the letters, like significant deficiency, material weakness. Just kind of says, hey, this is what these are. We looked at internal controls, but nobody ever expresses an opinion on internal controls like this. So it's just kind of an informative letter. But it is followed by two opinion letters. The first one being the federal opinion letter. So it's the opinion on each major program. And we were able to have an unmodified audit opinion, which if you remember from the first letter, that's what you want. And that is followed by the state letter. And we are once again able to have an unmodified audit opinion. So that's exactly what you want. And those are all summarized on this page in the statement of auditor's results. So you'll see there's three sections. There's a financial statement, the federal award, and the state award. All of the opinions are unmodified. And then you'll notice the check boxes, it talks about material weakness, significant deficiency, non-compliance. We're able to mark no on those. Some people have questions when we have marked no, was the auditee qualified as low risk for the federal audit? The reason that's marked no is because in order to be low risk, you had to have a federal audit for the two prior years with unmodified audit opinions and no findings. And so because this is the first year, it's literally impossible for you to be considered a low risk. Also next year, if you spend more than $750,000, you will still not be considered low risk until you've had two consecutive ones. And then that third year, you could be low risk. So I get some questions sometimes because it's like, wait, this is new. Why aren't we low risk? But that's the only reason why. And then you can see on this next page, what I was saying is there were no findings and it is summarized on the schedule findings and question costs. There was a prior year finding for the ACES program. In the current year, the audit guide did not have ACES as part of the audit guide. So we were not required to audit it. So it was implemented. Now, I will say next year, ACES comes back in. And so one of the things that I wanted to make sure is said is the finding that we did have before, let's make sure it doesn't come back in the 21-22 report. So that's everything that I have. So if there are any questions, I am now available for those.
Can you explain a little bit on the cash and cash equivalent, please?
Yes. So let me go up to that note. So under cash and cash equivalents, there are two categories that the cash sits in at for the Ballington schools, cash and county treasury for the El Centro school, and then there's cash and bank accounts. So usually what people are concerned about is when you go down to this cash and bank note, it talks about money being at risk. So all that means is the FDIC insures the first $250,000 per depositor. So if you had eight different accounts, but all within the same bank, those all add together and you are insured for the first $250,000. After that, you are technically not insured on it, which is why at the audit, we have to say this is the amount that they held in excess of the FDIC insured amounts. Now, the only time that this would actually be a factor is if the banks were completely failing. And I think this would be the least of our worries at that point, because we would probably all be in serious, serious trouble. Also on top of that, many banks have their own personal insurance that they pay for beyond FDIC, but without actually knowing specifically bank by bank, we aren't able to comment on that. Also, the amounts shown here as the at risk, those will be based on the bank balance, which is unreconciled. So any deposits that were in transit as of June 30 or checks that were in transit as of June 30 will not be part of that at risk of the book balance, but they are factored into this. So for example, if you had a $5,000 check that you wrote June 30th, for book purposes, for this number here, that $5,000 would come out. Because as of June 30th, you really don't have that. You're just waiting for the person to cash it. But as of the risk, as of June 30th, it hasn't left your bank account yet. So that is something that sometimes people get a little confused about, because they think they should be able to just take this number, subtract 250,000, and that's the at risk. But the reason those are different is because that at risk is based on the bank balance, and the number on the balance sheet is based on the book reconciled balance. Does that make sense? Okay.
So the big amount, like cash in county treasury, is that CD? So what is that?
So the county treasury is basically all school districts have to utilize county treasuries. And depending on the MOU and the authorizing agency, some charters either have to use it in full or they have to use it for part of it. But it's literally just a giant bank account that the county holds. But there's no, like, there isn't like at-risk amounts or whatnot. They are allowed to invest in certain things, but it's very limited. And that's actually this note before, this fair value measurement and disclosures, that talks about like some of the things that they're allowed to invest in, this paragraph here. It's very, very, like, they're not allowed to invest in anything that's risky. It's just the stuff that's like, in 6 months, you're going to get this return. But it's similar to a bank account. It's just that it's held by the county treasury.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
And the reason why we had hit such a high threshold of federal dollars this year was all those one-time funds, right? All the ESSER-1s, the ESSER-2s, and ESSER-3s.
Now,
go ahead.
I was going to say one thing is the ELO, the Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant. They did revise that in August and October, where they basically split it in half, and half of it was state, and then they put the other half into federal. So depending on how much ELO you spend, some of that, you know, about half of that allotment will be federal again this year. So my guess is, depending on the size of the schools that we audit, this year might be another year of a single audit. But it really just depends on where the expenditures land.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't know of any other major federal awards or grants, though, that will be happening like they did last year. I know there are a lot of state grants that they're freeing up funds for from the big surplus, but those obviously are state, so they aren't subject to the single audit threshold.
Thank you. Board members, any other questions, comments? Well, I want to say thank you again. I know definitely a very, very busy time for you. And I know that I always reach out to you and say, please, can you give us 15 minutes? We'll put you anywhere on the agenda. So much, much appreciated. And thank you again for your patience with us through this whole entire process. I know there was a lot of back and forth, and I know we tried to use that online upload system, and sometimes we couldn't, at least I couldn't get it to upload, and your team was just so patient with me and letting me email it to them. So again, kudos and thank you again.
And sometimes they would update the software and just blow out all of the settings we had. And so all of a sudden across every single client, the settings change so that clients aren't allowed to upload in the folder. And it's like, why would you do that?
I want to echo what Doreen said, Kevin. You've been so patient with us and so understanding and really very, very helpful. I know that you're always there to answer questions for us. So I want to express my thanks as well.
And I know it was a difficult audit year with all of those remote.
I'm looking forward to not doing a remote audit this year. My plan is to go out.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with you on that one. I think the teachers are really looking forward to not doing remote attendance.
Yeah.
But we are very, very grateful to you, Kevin.
Thanks.
How many years have you been doing this, Kevin?
8.5.
Yeah.
But I've been in the financial industry for almost 15.
Yeah, I know you. I've seen you for many years now.
Yeah.
And when did you become partner?
So I've been a partner for 5.5 years.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you mentioned that before, that you were a partner. So congratulations back those years.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys are doing a great job. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
No other questions?
Right. Well, thank you so much again. I know that you have probably thousands of more to do. So good luck with that. And then I hope you also get some rest at the end.
Yeah, we're going on a cruise next week. So you caught me on the week that I was still here.
Oh, yay. Well, be safe.
Yeah. Well, I actually, in the middle of January, as we're trying to do all of these reports, we had 8 people out at once with COVID. Oh, including all 3 partners. So I have both shots boosted, still got it. So I'm super immune now.
yes.
Well, thank you and have a nice cruise trip.
Yes.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a good evening. Okay, board members. So the next part of the agenda is really just if we move into the agenda action items, is we just need an acceptance of the independent audit for did I get that right? No, 20 to 21. I was a year ahead. We're in 21-22. So if I could have an acceptance of the independent audit for school year 2020 to 2021.
I'll move to
go ahead. What was that?
I'll move to accept the independent audit for 2020-2021.
Second. And I have a second. Okay, I will go ahead and call for the vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
And Christy?
Yes.
Motion passes with 4 roll call votes. Okay. Christy, do you want me to just keep going through it, or do you want me to hand over the baton?
Oh, I think I would just be handing it right back over to you, so go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
I was getting ready to, and then I was like, oh.
That's very thoughtful, but no, please go ahead.
Through this. Okay. Okay, the next part of the agenda is, do I have an approval for the January 18, 2022 minutes?
I'll move to approve the minutes of January 18, 2022. Dixie.
So Dixie, and then do I have a second?
I'll second.
Oh, Denise, I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to go right into the roll call vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
And Christy?
Yes.
Motion carries with 4 roll call votes in favor. We're at our favorite standing item now again, just to move forward and approve virtual meetings going forward for March. Probably don't need to give any more background on that. Do I have a motion to approve that?
I will move to approve the virtual meetings for March.
A second.
Okay.
This is Christy.
All right, I have a first and I have a second. Probably no discussion. I'll just go into roll call vote. Dixie?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carla?
Yes.
Motion carries with 4 roll call votes. Next on the agenda is the approval of the second interim for 2021 to 2022 school year. Board members, this is specifically for San Bernardino. I know I've spoken historically. San Bernardino has always had a very, very early requirement for us to submit them this report. It is due, honestly, by Ed Code on March 15. So for San Bernardino, they normally want it February 22nd. They've even moved it up more this year. He's moved it up to February 18. So they're really wanting almost a full month approval. Given that, I did have to separate bringing before you San Bernardino. And as we have done probably for the last couple times, I will bring before you El Centro at the next board meeting. This is actually the second state-required financial report. We approved the first interim a couple months ago, and this is the second interim. This will show you where we're at as far as, and these are all done again on based on cash for revenue, but expenses are actual. San Bernardino, we're still on target to have a positive balance. But that said, Miss Shannon and I have had multiple discussions over the last couple of weeks. We are keeping a close eye on our ADA because that could significantly impact revenue, and coupled with that, then also keeping a close eye on our expenditures. We're really committed to ending again this year positive. We, as Kevin mentioned, we had a significant deficit and we made great strides this last year. So we want to continue keeping that trend. Ultimately, I'll entertain any questions on the second interim. I don't think there are any surprises. Again, though, we are tracking to make sure that our ADA is not dipping too low and we don't have to make further adjustments.
No, it looks good. I don't have any questions.
If there are no questions, do I have a motion to approve the second interim for San Bernardino?
So moved.
I have a first, Carla, and then do I have a second?
I'll second Dixie.
Dixie, okay, I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll move into the roll call vote. Carla?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
And Denise?
Yes.
Motion carries with four roll call votes. Okay. The next action item is a little bit of a background for you. Board members, El Centro has, over the years, has created what they're called our fundraising account, and they have raised funds specifically through their March Fun Walk. We weren't able to do it last year because of the pandemic, but also they've had Breakfast with Santa. They used to do an art show. Ultimately, they were able to raise about $20,000, I think, to be exact. I want to say, where's my notes? $20,973. Exactly, $20,973 is currently the funds that are in there. Over the last course of the months, our playground, which we are not known for our playground, but it has really began to take a toll, specifically on the asphalt. There's pebbles coming up. It's causing, children when they fall. It's really becoming quite a safety hazard. So Mr. Anderson, along with his teaching staff, put together a survey and surveyed the parents to ask them if they could potentially use the $13,000, $13,815 of their current fundraising account to go ahead and replace the asphalt on the playground. Unanimously, the parents through a survey voted yes, that they would be in support for the use of that funds. So that is what I'm bringing to you this evening. If we could move forward and use those fundraising funds specifically to repair the asphalt on the playground. At this point, I do know Mr. Anderson has been in contact with another gentleman that is doing the asphalt in the same area within the school and has been willing to give Mr. Anderson a pretty good quote on the amount of the cost. And Mr. Anderson is sorry he couldn't be here, but he said to be sure for me to advocate on behalf of the asphalt for the playground. He texted me quite often this last week or so, showing that, you know, it was definitely getting more and more in disrepair.
So these funds are held in a separate account that has really nothing to do with Ballington Academy.
They are held in a separate account. They are held in actually a Wells Fargo account set up specifically for fundraising. Now, back office does receive those statements and does reconcile those. So there is accountability and transparency. However, it is not part of our general operating fund. So I know we're watching his school very closely as far as expenses go.
So why do we have to approve that?
Honestly, I wanted board approval because of it being fundraising, and I just wanted clear transparency, and that is why I had taken it. I asked him to do a survey with his teachers, and then I asked him to take it to the parents, and then I said, okay, I'm going to also take it to the board, just because I know fundraising funds, I just want to really emphasize my commitment for it to be completely transparent at that point.
Okay. And I appreciate that because honestly, I'm wondering when you do a fundraiser, usually there's a goal attached to the fundraiser. And it makes me wonder, okay, so when you did the fundraiser for the art gallery, what was the goal at the time? You know what I mean? Like, I'm almost thinking that, so I'm wondering why the asphalt or something isn't part of an operating expense that would have been planned for ahead of time.
So yes, absolutely. For example, with the art fundraiser, I believe they decided to fundraise for just general school support, like the teacher said, supplies. I want to say certain curriculum, certain materials. Well, over the last couple of years, the school's operating budget was able to supply those curriculum. As you know, we have really invested a lot in their curriculum. They've gotten a social emotional curriculum. They've gotten enhancement curriculum. So at this point, that was provided by the school. As we looked at El Centro's operating budget due to the low enrollment, we're watching his budget very, very closely. That said, Mr. Anderson said, we have this need. We do have this fundraising money. May I ask the teachers and the parents if we might use this fundraising money to fix our asphalt?
Which is totally really fine as far as I would think, and as long as everybody's on board with it, that's fine. But what I think concerns me is that, are we making a plan? Like, okay, so that gets repaired, are we making sure that we are planning to have that repaired in, you know, X amount of years through the normal budgeting process of setting aside for those contingencies? And not only that, are there other things that we should make sure to consider? You know, it's not that much of an amount, but that along with anything else that might need to be repaired, or, you know, is that somewhere within that? When I look at the statements and stuff, I see, you know, certain operating expenses, but is there any funding or grant money or anything like that to do upgrades to your facilities as time goes by?
So usually that would come out of the school's general operating fund, and historically we have planned for upgrades. At one point, we were even attempting to do flooring. We did some painting. We did some work in the cafeteria. You know, as the school kind of grew and grew into its enrollment and grew into having, I want to say, a little bit more flexibility in its funding. There was a lot of focus on getting curriculum and supplies and materials and making sure the teachers had adequate, I want to say materials, because in the beginning, Carla probably could remember this. We were like, okay, let's count how much paper we're going to grow until our enrollment grows. This is exactly, you know, we're going to be very conservative in this area. And then each year, as our enrollment grew and our funding grew, we were able to invest more and more in the curriculum. We were actually able to invest more and more in professional development. So historically, we have written in different, I want to say, improvement projects. We redesigned our science lab. We brought in additional support for our library. This last 2 years, due to our under enrollment, El Centro has been, I think, in much more of a restricted financial situation where we really had to be cautious and I want to say very prudent in what we selected. And fortunately, I know they had did the fundraising for all the materials and all of the curriculum. And when I talked with Mr. Anderson, he was saying, we have tons of that right now. We don't, the teachers have every curriculum they could imagine. We invest in that. We bought them technology. We bought Chromebooks. With all of those one-time, very restricted funding sources. This is something we really need. And given that we do have the ability, if we could move forward and do this project with some of our fundraising funds.
I mean, usually you have a budget for repair and maintenance, but if somebody want to pay for something, we'll definitely take that. And I think you just bringing it on because it's actually parents' money it's fundraising from the parents and really not from outside, right?
Exactly. I wanted it to just be extremely transparent. That's why I asked Mr. Anderson to talk to his staff, get his staff buy-in, talk with, his parents. He did a parent survey, unanimous, and he got, I want to say, a 40% return rate from his parents. So that was a pretty high return rate on the survey. And then I said, okay, once we go through staff, parents, I'm still taking it to the board because it's fundraising money. I want everybody to be aware.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that at all.
Hi, Doreen, if I may, as a parent who spent a lot of time fundraising, I'm just going to say my children no longer go there. So I'm speaking as a prior parent and a board member. It concerns me kind of, I'm going to echo what Dixie said. I don't want it to be misleading. You know, I don't want this to set a precedence. Okay, we don't have any money for this. We don't have any money. Let's dip into, let's ask the parents if we can use the fundraising money. And you're saying it's up to 20,000. I don't know of any fundraising that has taken place in the last year and a half because of COVID. My concern is that, maybe half the parents are no longer there and I would be one of them. I believe for 2 years in a row, our students gave up going to educational field trips because they were told any fundraising they did would be put forth towards a new playground. And to them and myself, the impression was a new playground as a whole, a new playground as equipment, a new shade structure, permanent, additional tables, additional benches. Mainly shade because it is back there on blacktop with no trees, no nothing, no grass. So I just I would like to see a plan. I just feel that it's a little transparent or not. I mean, we can vote in an open forum like we are, but it still to me seems a little bit, suspect. And I know there's nothing going on, but it gives that appearance. And I don't want that perception out there that, you know, here for all these years, we've been fundraising for this. And now we're going, because the budget is meek and we didn't allocate funding for improvements to the property itself, we're going to dip into this and we're going to use this to pave the asphalt. You know, and on the other hand, okay, well, the playground is, you know, the asphalt is part of the playground. But, you know, we're going to send our kids out there to do fundraisers to pave asphalt constantly, you know, hey, help us pave our asphalt. Not just for the playground. To me, it's a little misleading when we say fundraiser for a playground, you think of swings and toys and equipment, not necessarily the asphalt. So
Denise, I don't think it's originally the fundraising money was for the playground. I think it's the fundraising over the years, and now they have the $21,000 in the pool, and then they made a survey and got, you know, 40% reply that it was okay to use it for that. I don't think originally it was for that.
Yeah, but you a fundraiser, honestly.
I'm going to beg to differ.
Yeah, if you do a fundraiser, you're saying I have a need. You fill that need. Now, if you have money to do some more supplies, see, at the time it happened, this is what's kind of concerning. Is how do you have $20,000 sitting in a fundraising account that should have been expended when that fundraiser occurred? So that's where it's a little suspect for me, too, because we do fundraising on the college campus and nobody holds on to money. And we have auditors that come in and stuff and look at these accounts to make sure they're being spent the way they intended to be spent. So I'm just like wondering who's monitoring your fundraising account and saying, oh, we don't have to spend it because the school now has enough money. The thing is, we do. So even if we approve this right now and everything's hunky-dory, are we planning this appropriately? Because you don't want to have, okay, we're just going to do fundraising for all these other things that we say we need. We're going to fund these some other way, and then we're going to ask to do an asphalt or a repair to a floor or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's very weird. As a parent, too, Denise, I agree with you, man. If I fundraised 2 years ago and you spend it on something else because the new parent said that's what we want to do, still weird. Those funds should have been expended at the time.
I had conversations with the teachers, and my children were told, no, mom, we were told we're not doing field trips this year. We're not going to such and such museum. We're not going to such and such this because we have to save our money for our playground. Yeah. The Halloween carnival, and a lot of other things that were done. We were told those funds were going towards the playground. And I can't tell you how badly these children wanted a playground. I mean, my kids are super active and they were just, yeah, mom, it's for the playground, you know? So, okay, I would write my checks. So it is a little bothersome. Like I said, I'm no longer there. The parents now, again, there's this pool of money. The parents now get to decide what they would like to have done with it. I just worry on the audit side that we're not making a mistake by saying, you know, or we're not failing the students in some way or the donors in some way by saying, you know, we didn't budget for this. We didn't plan for this. So now we're going to dip into the fundraising pot because, you know, the school needs us to, or the parents want us to. Now, it's just concerning that I think we need to have a plan, or we need to say now that we need to allocate for property improvement to the facility. That's our responsibility as a group.
And we should really make sure that if they're going to hold a fundraiser, you know, I think it's important that funding get used for the purpose that they're telling the parents they're fundraising for. I think that's real important.
And I don't want to misspeak by any means. I think that the idea was this was part of the playground. The asphalt is part of the playground, and there was an intention to fundraise for the playground. And when they were fundraising, they were thinking, you know, like $50,000, $60,000. Part of it would have been for the playground's surfacing, of course. That would have been all a combination of responding to building a better playground.
Yeah.
Do we know when it was re-asphalted the last time it was done?
We re-asphalted, I want to say we're in 2000, I want to say like four or five years ago.
Yeah. So, and again, still no improvements to the playground itself other than the re-asphalting. And that's where I'm concerned, because we've been fundraising for years and now here we are again with a safety concern. And I get it. A kid falls down on rough gravel and you're picking out stones and I get it. I completely understand, because I've been the mom with the tweezers picking out rocks from underneath their skin. That, like I said, it concerns me. I mean, you know, you have twofold here. You have the safety concern, it needs to be addressed, but then you have the other side, the auditing side, where, you know, are we going to continue doing this? In 4 years, they've built that pot up again. Here's another 10,000 added to it. Oops, you know, we need to asphalt again. We don't have enough money for a complete program, you know, or playground, but we need to re-asphalt and now we got to dip into this fund again. I just highly suggest that we come up with a plan at some point to budget a little more for the improvements to the property itself.
100% agree with you.
Out of curiosity, Shannon, does San Bernardino have any kind of an outdoor area, playground or otherwise?
When we first opened, the back of the building is a playground. It has a structure and the rubberized, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's not asphalt.
It's softer. The playground surface.
Okay. And then the older children that are a little bit too big for that structure, they do go out to the front parking lot for recess, the front grass and parking lot. And we put blockades or cones on either side so cars can't come in.
Okay.
So Denise, when the amount, $21,000, fundraising at the time, what was parent told that the money was going to be used for?
Our kids came home and for different events, we were told, and our kids even said, mom, it's for, you know, it's for the playground. We're raising money for the playground. We're selling whatever it was that they would come home selling. Whether it was, I think, cookie dough 1 year. and I said, oh, you guys aren't doing field. Nope. We're not doing field trips. We're not doing, all the money's going towards the playground. And like I said, it was fine. You guys need a playground. And again, knowing my kids wouldn't be there forever, obviously. That was my intention. We got to get this school a playground. And I didn't even know they had that much money in there. I had no idea it was up to that.
I'm surprised too. There's so much in there. But I mean, the asphalt that is for the playground, it's part of the.
I agree, Carl. I totally agree. And I agree that the asphalt needs to be done, but that drops the pot down, obviously, to what, 6,000? Is it 13 you said, Doreen?
13.
Yeah, 13, 13. 8, almost 14. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then it drops the pot and here we go again. You know, it was just asphalted 5 years ago, give or take. You know, and that's my point, is in 3 or 4 years, are we going to be looking at having to do it again? And I get it. It's back there. There's not a lot of traffic, but our sun beats it up. The weather just tears it up, I'm sure. And that's just a concern. You know, we're going to be back here again in a few years. You know, I just, if it's approved tonight, I just highly suggest that we really think about our next budget and find a way, you know, have a separate fundraiser, or like Dixie said, specify each fundraiser, you know, have a sign out there and then hold separate fund accounts for separate fundraisers. I don't know if that's how it's managed now.
And the parents fundraising, you know, we do, I think as we're doing these fundraisers, parents, I mean, we'd like to see something actually happen with that. I mean, just like with the, when we're told their kids are going to take a field trip, I mean, we know that, and it's a, we invest in it, you know what I mean? But it's really hard to fundraise for something that we're investing in further down the road that far. Like we talk about playgrounds and stuff. I mean, I don't know if we have a grant writer, or is there anyone out there looking for specifically for grants for playgrounds for nonprofits kind of thing? Like, shouldn't that be something that we consider? I mean, because honestly, fundraising for a new playground, playgrounds are like 60 grand. I think it was even way more than that when we did the preschool college, like $100,000 for a playground. Yep. I mean, kind of unrealistic to think that you could fund an entire playground off of fundraising unless you got like some really nice ideas.
Yes. And we do look for grants for playgrounds. I usually, if I come across one, I will submit one as far as grant writing goes, or any opportunities with the foundation's money. I mean, yeah. I think we submitted, we actually did. We wrote one and we got it from IID, and that was to support our science program, to build out our science program. So that was how we incorporated Project Lead the Way from actually writing a grant to a foundation. So yes, we do. We do go ahead and look for larger grants for things that like
might, that. That might be something that we really need to do, you know, and then keep your fundraising funds for, you know, specific purposes, and try to use them for that, so that those children that are doing those, it's hard work out there fundraising, you know what I mean? They should somehow see the rewards of that, to be honest with you. So, I mean, yeah, we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place with this decision right now. Honestly, I'm like, okay, you know, you 40% of your, I don't know, you know, people kind of are misinformed. Like Denise is saying, these are new people. They're like, oh, okay, you have fundraising money that they didn't have to do necessarily. So they're like, yeah, sure, you know. But when you're invested in it, your kid's out there doing the work and beating the streets, and I'm asking my friends and stuff to participate in things. It's a little hard pill to swallow on that, you know. But hopefully we can, you know, figure out something to do in the future so we're not doing this, like Denise said. That's a little suspect. But I guess we need to vote. So
it's up to board members.
Under duress, I'm going to vote.
I know. No. I don't want you to do that.
Well, and it's not that much of a duress. Obviously, it is an improvement to the. I mean, we don't want any issues coming up. You know, it's like saying, you know, we're going to have. It is saying you're going to have a problem if we don't fix it, and this is the only money we have. Okay.
You know what I mean? Well, I don't want you to think that it's the only money we have. We can absolutely go back to the general operating fund and review the budget and see if we can identify additional funding. I believe the intent was, though, because the asphalt was part of the playground, we had the dollars in the fundraising account. The request was to move forward and use those to repair the asphalt.
That's fine. Maybe we can find a little more money to do something other than just the asphalt, and maybe really make an effort to give those kids what Denise's kids fundraised for. You know what I mean? If you're going to take 14 grand, why don't you take a few more thousand and, you know, do a shade. I don't know how much those shades are, but let's find the money to get the shade in, you know, or something like that.
They're expensive.
You know, yeah. I mean,
we did. We actually, I don't know what condition it is in, but our first shade on the playground was through a grant writing attempt from Lowe's. Lowe's actually donated it to us, or not donated it, but granted it through an application process for us.
That's great.
I don't know. It's probably not in any shape worth considering now, though. I don't want to say it's in tip top shape still. It's probably no longer shade, is my guess.
Doreen, out of curiosity, what is we lease the building, correct? We lease that facility.
Correct.
What is the landlord's duty to paving the outside? I mean, are they held to face is giving it away.
No, I'm so I don't
want to pay anything.
Thank you, Carla. I was trying to I don't have a poker face, unfortunately. He is extremely challenging landlord. Will not we had a roof leak and we argued for him to pay the roof. I mean, he just, very challenging man. We got a grant I want to share with you for repairing the HVAC system in the school. And we went to him and we said, hey, this is a grant where we can get to repair the HVAC. We're essentially increasing your asset. Could you give us rent abatement? Could you give us something? He said, no, absolutely not. So I understand his reputation precedes himself. Like he's a really difficult man. I think he at one point would have rather let the property go unrented than to even come down a very small amount in lease negotiations. So yeah, he definitely is not, I want to say, very supportive. In direct contrast to, I know Shannon, lately your landlord has been saying no, but I think because it's just been many, many issues. But prior, he was extremely supportive. He would send out his own,
Yeah, he still does.
Project, yeah. And he'd cover it, but not this gentleman at all.
Okay. So when the front parking lot is paved, it's done by the individual businesses, or because I know it was just done last summer. I know because I walked on it while it was still hot and it was a gooey mess because they didn't have it blocked off. So I know it was just done last summer. I'm wondering why they didn't do the back. Is that just because there's no, the business fronts, are not
accessible? There's a certain percentage of our rent that we pay to one of those management companies. And
okay.
That's how they, because of our additional percentage of rent that we pay, that's how they do all of those upkeep type of things. They do not consider our quote unquote playground space. And I say, because it truly is just a fenced in area, right? Don't consider that as part of, my goodness, there's the term in real estate, common area. Oh my gosh. You guys probably, what? Triple net. I think that's the term. They don't, common area triple net. They do not consider that part of that responsibility.
Okay. So as far as they're concerned, it's the same as the inside. You're responsible for just maintaining. Okay. That's what I was wondering, because I knew it had just been repaved last year, the front part. So I just wondering why that was left out.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you saying that there is a possibility that you may be able to find funding for this or partial funding for this somewhere else, Doreen? Or are you saying this is it? We've looked, we've exhausted all other areas. And for this year, the only place it could come is from the fundraising account.
I believe we could. I don't want to say absolutely not. We couldn't find funding from the general fund. It is tight. We would be making some negotiations with something else, which is fine. I mean, I think I mentioned earlier, teachers have a lot of curriculum. We've just invested in a lot of technology. So I think materials and supplies, we wouldn't be impacting significantly if we said we need to do a shift. Again, I believe they saw this as, hey, we have this fundraising pot of funds. It is for the playground to repair the asphalt. Could we use it at this point for that purpose?
Okay. And my last question, sorry guys. Okay. Last question is, how was the how was the repaving paid for 5 years ago?
It was through the school's operating budget.
Okay. Okay. That was it. That was my last question. Sorry.
That's okay. No problem.
Next. Well, yep. I think I'll suggest that we put it to next meeting and bring it up again. And then maybe Bill can, you know, tug it up and tug it down or whatever he want to do. And then we can make a decision at that time.
I'll second tabling it until the next meeting. But I would like, Doreen, if you could just take another look just so we can just say publicly that yes, we exhausted all other avenues. There's no funding anywhere else. I'd like to be able to say that before we do dip into the fundraising account.
So then it sounds like I have a motion to table and then I have a second to table, right?
Right.
Okay. So any further discussions?
I have just one question. This is Kristen. One question about the recent discussion. It was very eye-opening discussion about the fundraising. Not something I had really considered, and I really appreciate that. When you're looking for alternative places to get to fund it, and you bring up I think you said supplies or something like that with, you know, where, you know, we've invested in technology. And so we expect those to be underruns. That was my understanding of what you said. Is that correct?
Well, I would look at some of our more variable costs, like some of our line items that are a little bit more flexible, such as materials and supplies, technology, and see if in fact, since we've invested a significant amount of dollars this year, if we need to be purchasing additional items, or if we have enough funding left in those line items to maybe consider moving it towards into a different line item to accommodate the asphalt.
Oh, okay. You actually just answered my question, which I realize I never even asked after all that. It was, how do you justify, but you would move the money from one line item that you know is going to be an underrun to the proper line item and then pay for it from that. Okay. Thank you.
Correct. And I mean, in it, like I know there's certain line items such as rent, that's a non-negotiable. Utilities, right. I salaries, probably not, you know, so I'm left with materials and supplies and variable cost line items.
I get it now. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So I have a first and I have a second. Should I call for the vote?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Carla?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Dixie?
Yes.
And Christy?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries with 4 roll call votes. Okay. At this point, I wanted to bring us into closed session to provide the board with an update of some of my recent email correspondence. So if we can officially move into closed session at 6:38. And I don't see any members of the public, so I don't think we have to ask them to leave.
Doreen, I do believe we need to ask Joseph to stop recording.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right. Okay. So now we're officially.
It's still the school year. That I will be 100% staffed.
Hey!
And everyone's really excited.
That is great news. That is great news. It'll be hopefully a little bit easier on everyone with, you know, the full 100%, you know, sharing.
We're definitely hopeful. We're not talking too much about it, but right? We're definitely hopeful.
Right. Well, that kind of mirrors, I think, the broader, broader societal feeling about it looks promising, but wait a minute, we've been fooled before.
So. Yes.
Well, that's great. I'm happy that everybody's well and attending. So that's great.
So are we officially, I wanted to make sure, are we officially back in open session?
We're recording.
Yes. Okay, so we went into open session, I want to say at 6:57.
Okay.
Are you going to say anything about the closed session that nothing has been decided?
Yes. So there were no official votes or decisions in closed session. And we're officially back in open session.
And I said in the beginning at 7 o'clock, I have to leave. So I am leaving right now and see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
Bye, Carla. All
right. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you. So that just leaves actually board closing comments. So we might have been able to do it again in an hour and a half. Close to.
Don't have any closing comments.
Perfect.
Okay. Next meeting is February 22nd.
Yay. We're getting Thank better.
You. Thank yes, you, everybody.
Faster. Thank you.
Thank you, Doreen and Shannon, for all your,
thank you, everyone.
All your good work. Thank you.
Thank you. And a thank you to Joseph for taking care of our Zoom needs.
Yes. Joseph, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope everyone has a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.